While we're here in San Francisco, we wanted to check in on this region where the tech industry is soaring. There's an election coming up and the future of development in San Francisco is at stake. And yes, California is still in the grips of a four-year drought. Joining us now are three journalists who've been paying close attention to all the things that need to be paid close attention to here. KQED's Scott Schaefer, host of the California Report. Scott, good to see you.
Hey, good to see you, Jeremy.
Kara Swisher, co-executive editor at the tech news site Recode, our partner here on Here and Now. Kara, great to see you with your trademark sunglasses on.
Sorry, I forgot my other one.
No. And Martin Reynolds is also here with us, fellow at the Maynard Institute for Journalism Education and former editor of the Oakland Tribune. Martin, great to see you
hey,
as well.
Hey, Jeremy.
And let's start with the thing that I feel like everybody has been talking about since we got here, which is how expensive it is getting in this region and what that is doing to San Francisco. KQED spoke to neighborhood activist Roberto Hernandez about it. Here's what he said.
It's going to become a boring neighborhood. You're not going to have the person selling churros, the lady selling flowers on the corner. And just that vibrant, you know, Latin American feel that the Mission has, it's going to be gone. It's going to disappear.
Talking about the Mission neighborhood there, Scott, this issue seems to be taking up a lot of oxygen around here. Is that rightly so?
It absolutely is. I mean, we're sitting here in the Mission District at KQED, and we're sort of in the epicenter of this civic discussion. Some would call it an argument about who is San Francisco for? Who can afford to live here? Are the policies that are happening in San Francisco going to enable the people who've been here for decades and decades to continue to be here? Are the people who are coming here new to take these terrific high-tech jobs for companies like Google and Facebook and Lyft and all the rest? Or are they going to displace folks who've been here for a very long time? And is there anything that can be done about that? Is that just larger market forces, supply and demand and housing? But it is a big discussion, and there are several things on the ballot next week that will answer some of those questions.
Well, Kara, the tech industry is taking a lot of blame for this.
Yeah. Well, it's blame or they're just developing. They would say they're helping the city, that they're adding to the economy, they're adding people living here. I mean, there are a few too many organic juice stores here, I think. I think we've reached the limit on kale shakes.
And $1,000 iframes.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think it's a lot in the real estate. San Francisco real estate has always been expensive. It's just more. And we had one going on at the beginning before the last web boom was happening. And so I think it's just typical. It's a very small amount of space, and it's limited, and there's a lot of people with a lot of money.
Is there going to come a moment, though, when tech companies decide this is so expensive, why don't I just locate in another city rather than here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they built some really amazing headquarters. You know, Uber's moving to Oakland, for example.
They'll still have a big presence here.
But what about even outside of the Bay Area? Do you think companies are going to be lured elsewhere?
No.
Well, Tesla just moved its battery factory to Nevada because they got huge tax breaks. You know, I think for
it's
the manufacturing,
that's different. Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's part of the bigger green
most,
energy is a big part of the tech
anything.
Industry.
Most of them don't make anything.
Right.
That's a very
but the ones who do
company.
Are moving.
Well, Martin, Uber is going to be in Oakland. There are a lot of people moving to Oakland because it's more affordable. You just came over across the bridge, though, and it takes a while these days.
I only took 50 minutes for 9 miles. So it's definitely and it's changing the fabric of the city. I mean, as Gar alluded to, Uber coming, bringing as many as 2,500 people moving into the old Sears building that was right across actually from the Oakland Tribune. And, you know, the real impact it's having is what we're finding, you know, the East Bay as a whole really needs about 44,000 new units to accommodate the influx of people that are coming. There's only about 27,000 in the pipeline right now. And Oakland is also facing significant challenge in that regard.
And do you think that this area is just going to get a whole lot whiter with all of this?
I think it's very possible, and I think the tensions that you're seeing have already emerged. The recent issue at Lake Merritt, where there are a group of drummers out there drumming at the moon, the red moon that was out there, a neighbor called, apparently a new neighbor, cops came, and lots of tensions around that. Also, even some churches have been getting letters as a result of complaints from neighbors saying too much spiritual sounds in the night. So what you're seeing is this tension between new residents coming in and those who have been here for quite some time.
And this is not a really new discussion. I mean, right now the focus is on Latinos and the Mission, but African Americans have been leaving San Francisco for a very long time. I think it's down to about 6% of the population now. A lot of them moved to Vallejo and even further away because housing was more affordable. A lot of them folks left. They went back to places like Texas.
Well, do you lose, though, that magic if that diversity, if that culture, if that economic and ethnic diversity goes away? Do you lose the very thing that makes this such a magnet for the tech companies?
Well,
for example?
You know, I mean, they like their ways. They like how they have their things. They like their coffee bars. They like their organic juice stores. They like their Pilates places. There's a certain, like, just like Brooklyn has the cliches, there are cliches around tech workers. They're largely white. They're largely male. they're largely young. And so you're going to get a city that looks like what the industry is. And on one hand, it's a great thing to have this growth. On the other hand, it's a growth for only a certain amount of people and a certain type of people. And they're going to impose their will because they have more money.
Yeah. And, you know, we sort of had this happen in the late 90s before the dot-com bust. This neighborhood, same thing, same discussion. There were ballot measures that put strict zoning codes as a result. And then, of course, the bottom fell out. And I think there is a question. Is there an aspect of this that could be another bubble?
There's a level of arrogance, too. Those ads that Airbnb put up, I think they realized how stupid they looked. You know, you're welcome for us, the taxes we give you. And I pay taxes. Everyone here pays taxes. Thanking us for, you know, making us want to thank them for their taxes. And that was a little overstep. It's sort of an attitude that creates a bad situation in a city, for sure.
I want to ask about the drought, because this has been going on now for 4 years. And as we sit here in this studio, there's even rain in the forecast today for San Francisco.
Yeah, it's raining. I just walked here. I don't drive anymore. I don't do any more driving.
But you have an umbrella.
No, I don't. I don't. I was like, where's my umbrella? I have like 90 of them. I haven't used them in years.
Well, but is the expectation right now that the El Nino that is hanging out in the Pacific this year is actually could really end the drought?
No. I mean, there's a hope, of course, that we get rain, because all rain is good. If nothing else, it'll tamp down some of the wildfire risk. But we've had 4 years of very little rain. And until the reservoirs are full and until there's snow in the Sierra, that's the real thing. Will there be snow in the Sierra? And so we could get a lot of rain from El Nino down south. And it could help, you know, with some of the reservoirs down there, but it could also lead to mudslides and floods and a whole lot of other things we don't really need.
And are all of you taking 3-minute showers?
Well, I have two teenagers, and I tell you, I come in there and I ring a bell, and they get so irritated
really?
With me.
So oh, I do.
Been,
really?
There has been conservation. Actually,
yeah,
there's lots of stories about
yeah.
it. I mean,
especially
you know, this
area.
Is the story of California. This is nothing new. There's been cyclical. I mean, obviously, climate change is really impacting it, most likely.
And there's this perception that California is sort of this moist state. It's actually an incredibly arid state.
Yeah,
it's a very dry state. So it's basically a desert. So it's not green California. It's actually brown California.
Absolutely.
Why do each of you live here? I've noticed since I've gotten here that there is something really wonderful about this area, the mentality here that you really don't see to this extent anywhere else in the country. But I want to just go around and ask each of you why you've decided to live here, Martin.
Sorry. Well, I was born in San Francisco and raised in Berkeley, and then I defected to Oakland in 2002. And I live here in large part – I mean, it's anytime I travel and I get back home – The place, the diversity, the food, the people, the weather, no snow. I live here and my people are here. All my family, all my friends. Mm. So it's a place that I really call home and I feel so comfortable in, and I love it. I love the people, and I love what the Bay Area is.
Kara?
You know, there's an expression, why do you rob banks? It's because it's where the money is. This is where the tech people are, and I cover tech. And so it's hard not to be here. Secondly, I actually just came back from New York last night and I was there for a couple of days. And I grew up there. And it was freezing. That was another thing I got here. I was like, oh, thank God. It's not really the weather. There is an excitement here of movement and change and difficult questions being answered. And so I think it's sometimes we get a little twee and ridiculous and kind of like the show Silicon Valley on HBO is very real because it makes fun of what's really true. But there is sort of a hope here that doesn't exist on the East Coast. And you feel it when you're there. Everybody's in the same place and not moving. And they're always moving here.
Scott?
I came here 31 years ago. I was a young gay guy. I moved here from Madison, Wisconsin, threw everything in my blue Mustang, drove across country, got here. And I remember getting on a Muni bus, and I was literally like the only white guy on the bus. And having come from Lily White, Wisconsin, and actually suburban Buffalo where I grew up, I was sort of stunned, and now it's like what I love about this place. You know, last night I went swimming on a gay swim team. There was somebody from Taiwan, somebody from Mexico. Mm. Got a ride home on Lyft from a Somali driver. I mean, it is the diversity of this place that I think, along with the other things, the physical beauty, even the drought weather is fantastic. I mean,
you know, and the gays.
And the gays.
They're still
yes,
here.
The gays are still here. So it's pretty great.
Well, we just have a couple minutes left, but I want to ask each of you what story we're not paying attention to around the country that we should be that's coming out of this region. Scott, let's start with
I think there's a future schism coming between within the Democratic Party, between tech Dems like Gavin Newsom and labor Dems. Jerry Brown in the last few weeks signed a bill that will allow state employees to travel and stay at Airbnb and use Lyft and Uber and get reimbursed for
right.
it. I think that's going to create some tension down the road.
Not all the Democrats in line with that. Kara, what about you?
You know, I'm very interested in I always say that and someone told me this, that Silicon Valley has a lot of great minds challenging on small ideas, and they're not fixing small ideas. I think there's going to be a lot more focus on bigger ideas around pollution, around food. I think the food tech stuff is really interesting to me, how to deal with climate change and the space and things like that. And so I think hopefully, you know, right now, San Francisco, I make a joke that is assisted living for millennials with all the sharing services. They get everything they want at any time. But actually, there's a more serious tone coming, and I'm hopeful that that's the case.
Martin?
Well, I'd say there's a real issue around healthy development guidelines, particularly in deep East Oakland. So I think people should pay attention to this, because what's going on now is that there's a real effort underway to try and have any new development that comes in be aligned with sort of the needs of the community. And so healthy development guidelines not being something that's covered widely, but could have great impact on what happens with the Raider Stadium, the A Stadium, and the Oakland Coliseum.
And something that Oakland is going to have to deal with more and more as more people from this side of the Bay move to that side
of the
Bay and development really heats up. Well, Scott Schaefer, host of KQED's California Report, Kara Swisher, co-executive editor at Recode, and Martin Reynolds, fellow at the Maynard Institute for Journalism Education and former editor at the Oakland Tribune. Thanks to all of you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.